You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, yes, I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for help, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges. Katie has the night off. She's off doing something personal. She will be back next week, and we've got a blockbuster show lined up for you next week, and we'll talk to you more about that later. So Katie will be back with us. I just wanted to mention that we made an announcement, and I think we cast the wrong spirit out there. When we said Katie was 95% cancer-free, yeah, that was the size reduction of her tumor. But now she's suffering through complications. And I don't want to get too specific, but I would like everybody out there to pray for Katie, pray for her health. And she is still going to need some donations to get us through this time where we're dealing with complications. Now, are the complications as serious as the cancer? They could be. Right now, they're not. But we need to get a handle on this right now. And this is not the reason Katie is off. This was a pre-planned absence on her part where she had something personal that she wanted to do. And I said, well, Katie, I'm going to really miss you, but I'll hold down the fort. But please keep Katie in your prayers. And also, I would ask that you go up to the carousel on thecommonsenseshow.com. And you'll see where you can donate to Katie, and no amount's too small. But she's not out of the woods, folks, and I really want to stress that. And I wanted to really emphasize that here because she gets embarrassed with us asking for money and for prayers and stuff. And she's a giver. She's not a taker. And she's not uncomfortable being in the role of sometimes accepting what people want to offer. And she is so humble. And so I'm doing this on her behalf. And this is a sincere, heartfelt request to our listeners, who so many of you showed so much love for Katie. Very quickly, too, I want to remind everybody that this hour is brought to you by really two people. Our guest coming up here in just a moment, Ted Brower and healthmasters.com. And, man, is he has fixed me more times than I can count. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But also, we're also sponsored by Numana. Is like a tongue-tied here. We're also sponsored by Numana.com/Hodges, and it's the best in survival food. And you heard Bob say in the last hour, there's lots of good vendors out there, and there are, and we all cooperate with each other. We are on the spirit that we want to help people get prepared. And really, I'm a little selfish about this because if my neighbor has food, then I don't have to worry about him crawling through my window. So if this is something that we're really concerned about here at the Common Sense Show, that we get everybody armed with food, water, proper medicines, natural supplements are your best. We'll have Ted talk about that in a second. So again, please visit our sponsor at numanafood.com/Hodges. Anyway, Ted, welcome to the show. Thanks for doing double duty again, but there's just so much going on. And you sent me this list and I go, oh my gosh. And we really got to hit a lot of these topics tonight because we don't have a lot of time, and I'm not doing doom and gloom. This is not fear mongering, as people like to say. These are the times that we live in. I mean, I'm sure Noah was called a fearmonger or whatever the term of the day was, but these are very, very serious times we live in. Now, do I think we can manage to some degree if we're prepared? Ted, what say you about this?
Well, you know what's interesting to me, Dave, and hello to the audience again, and I love your audience. You got some of the smartest folks that I've ever worked with at the office when they call. Yes. You and the Hagman group are just amazing. And now my audience, of course, from my show that just aired, you know, from the 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock hour tonight is just phenomenal also. But no, we have to understand something. We have a lot of Christian pastors out there, and I'm going to just meddle for just a second here, who basically have, in fact, I left the church, and this is one of the reasons I left the church a couple of years ago. And we're going to cover a lot of stuff tonight. I only want to talk about this for just 1 second. No, well, it's going to be about 3 minutes, actually, because can't do anything in a second. But, you know, Michael Schneider wrote an article, and I wrote an article very similar to this about 4 years ago, and that preachers are saying that it is anti-Christian to get prepared with food or with guns or to have battery backups or to have solar panels or anything. And they're saying that, you know, you shouldn't be doing that because you're not walking in faith. Now, what's interesting about this is Schneider said that these Christian preachers that are doing this are exceedingly irresponsible, and I agree. Several years ago, back in 2004, when they did a big HAARP test on Central Florida, X marked the spot on my county, and they decided to send. Remember, we hadn't had a hurricane here since 1960, so it had been 44 years, no storms. You know, a couple of them on the periphery every once in a while, nothing bad, no big deal. But all of a sudden, X marks the spot, you know, my county, Polk County, Central Florida, and we had three hurricanes come over in 6 weeks. Every 2 weeks, another hurricane. Snap, snap, snap. Finally, by the third one, we had extensive flooding everywhere. Power lines were down. Thousands and tens of thousands of trees were down. Power lines were down. It took over a week just to get our power back up. But because I had a generator, which ran my refrigerators, and because I had propane for my gas stove, we didn't have to move out. Many of the neighbors around us, because there was no place, they couldn't feed themselves, they couldn't basically do anything with their house, they couldn't even turn the lights on, they had to leave. As for us, it was no big deal. The lights were on, TV still worked. You know, we had an antenna back then, so that still worked. The air conditioner did not work because our generator's not big enough to handle that. But we didn't lose any food, and it was no big deal. Now we have a power ventilator fan in the garage. I flipped that on, shut the garage windows, opened the bedroom window up, and for a week we had a ventilated house with air blowing through like we had back in the 50s and 60s here in Florida. So it was no big deal. It was fine. We got through it great. We also had storable food, but the grocery stores weren't closed down. Now, here's the thing. A lot of my friends, when I was putting my generators in and doing all this stuff, they were saying, well, you shouldn't be doing this, blah, 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 blah. I said, why not? I said, we have thunderstorms here all the time. I'm invariably having power outages 3 or 4 times every summer for 4 or 5 hours. And I said, I just shouldn't not deal with that anymore. So we went ahead and put the generator in. Now, what's interesting is we were going to a church in Lakeland at that time. Actually, not in 2004, but about 8 years ago. And we've been there for several years. And finally, this preacher got on a tear about Jim Baker. I mean, mentioning Jim Baker from the pulpit. Now, don't get me wrong. Jim Baker did some stuff wrong back in the 80s, went to jail for it. But he's been cleaning up his act the last 10 or 15 years. He's telling the truth on TV now. He's got one of the largest Christian TV shows again. And the truth is he tells people to prepare for the apocalypse, you know, get storable food. The government's trying to get you. I mean, he's telling the truth. I mean, Tom Horn is on there. Steve Quayle is on there. It's a great show to be on. And I've been on there. And so he's in the pulpit mocking Jim Baker. And this church is like 3,000 or 4,000 people. You know, and you tell the people in the church didn't really know what to say about him doing this. And here's what I've learned. I found out later that pastor had $4 million in the bank of that church's budget in the savings. $4 million. His payments were only $20,000 or $30,000 a month. So, I mean, he had literally decades of payments available to him, but yet he was still asking for money. He had all this backup money, and he's saying that we weren't living by faith because we wanted to store some food, but yet he would store money in his account like that and not use it as a funnel to go through his ministry and support other missionaries around the world. See, this is the problem I have with all of this. We have a two-sided standard. Now, here's what happens, and I've talked to these pastors before, and it's the same thing that a lot of preachers don't bring people in to do seminars or sell CDs or whatever because it takes regenerated revenue out of their churches. So the preachers get up and say, don't do this, it's a lack of faith, don't do this, it's a lack of faith, don't do this, it's a lack of faith. It's not a lack of faith. It's being smart and responsible. You know, you've got to prepare for the unexpected. I mean, even the ant stores up the food for the winter, according to the Bible, and we're a lot further ahead than ants. This whole philosophy came in with the Scofield Bible back in the 1850s that was printed by Oxford Press, which is controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel, telling Christians that it was promoting Zionism, and it was also promoting the rapture. And so all of this stuff has been indoctrinated into the United States now for 160 years, and a lot of preachers preach this nonsense from the pulpit, and it's not even biblical. The rapture was never even taught until around 1850. So what we have here is a group of preachers that don't want you to buy food, because when you buy food, it takes away from the money you can give their church. That's the bottom line, Dave. And when you prepare, it takes away from the money that you can give to the church. The truth is this, and you said it earlier, I want my neighbors to all be prepared and all have storable food. And the reason for that is, if my neighbors do that, then they're not going to be looking over my shoulder if something happens. You see, that's important, that we all work together as a team, because there's going to come a time in the not-so-distant future, I think within 4 to 5 years, if we have that long, that the United States is going to be insolvent, that we're going to have martial law, that we're going to go into receivership, just like we did in 1933 and 1934 with the Exchange Stability Fund. We went into receivership with the Rothschild banking cartel. It took them 20 years to bankrupt the United States from 1913 to 1933, when they contracted the M1 money supply in 1929 and caused the massive, you know, contraction of the stock market. And, you know, they called all their loans in. This is the same thing they'll do again. See, to them, we're not human beings. We're what they call goyim. We're just basically animals or cattle to be sold and led to slaughter. That's all we are. And so the sad part about this is these preachers that are promoting this are completely and totally irresponsible. I agree with Snyder. I wrote my same article on it. You know, and you got Humana Foods. You know, we've got healthmasters.com. We also sell storable foods. And, you know, if you want to buy it from me, you want to buy it from Humana, I don't really care. Just buy something. Is that about as simple as it gets, Dave? Yeah. Just
That's
buy
about
something.
As simple as it gets. You know, this is what people need to do.
Yeah, save up 60 days. Get 60 days worth of food for you and your family. 60 days.
But let me say this, okay? For the doubting Thomases that are out there, the people that would have made fun of Noah, just go to the Common Sense Show after the show and go to the search box and put in Executive Order 13603. That's 13603. And you'll read all kinds of stuff. But you'll come to the parts where Obama will control everything that has to do with food, food production, food ingestion, everything, Ted, everything connected to food will be controlled by Obama. And they're going to actually make it illegal for you to store food. That's a law you ignore. But I'm telling you, if you're not ready, you're going to be sorry.
You got to do it, guys. Now, let's change subjects. Now, let's talk about Prince. You know, Prince died this week. Another one of these, you know, April deaths of these top leaders. And, you know, we told you this was going to start happening. A couple of years ago, Prince was on Tavis Smiley's show, and he starts talking about chemtrails on this national talk show. And he said that all of us in the United States were basically indentured servants, and we were currently slaves on the plantations. And he goes into detail, and he starts quoting Dick Gregory, who's been on the Alex Jones show many, many times.
Yes.
And he starts talking about all of the stuff that's going on that nobody wants to talk about. Then he writes a song called Dreamer back in 2009. I'm not sure exactly when it came out, or maybe in 2013. And when he writes the song, if you read the lyrics on it, it starts off with I, E-Y-E, not I, like the all-seeing I, was born and raised on the same plantation in the United States of the red, white, and blue. And he says, you know, he's talking about how people are laying in a bloody pool. And he's talking about what they're doing with the race baiting and all the stuff that's going on. And then he starts talking about praying that the police sirens pass you by at night while the helicopter circles. And the theory's getting deep. Thing they're spraying chemtrails over the city while we sleep. From now on, I am staying awake. That's say I-E-Y-E again. So you can call me a dreamer to wake up, wake up. So what he was telling us here, the New World Order had decided that, you know, they were going to do all of this stuff, but they weren't going to allow these guys to talk about it. Now, what happens is this. These things happen all the time to these top celebrities. The problem is these celebrities are kept really tight on the reservation. They're not supposed to leave. When you give these celebrities the authority and the autonomy and the ability to affect millions of people by what they say, they're handled by their attorneys and they're handled by the people who made them celebrities. Some of these guys that are celebrities have no talent whatsoever. And the ones who are not willing to do what they're supposed to do as far as for the Illuminati or for whatever you want to call it, the Luciferian group, their careers were either short-lived or they end up just having short lives. Look what happened. Look at this. We did this whole thing a few months ago with your show about how, you know, 9/11 was a satanic event. But look at Janis Joplin. I believe she was 27 when she died. Jimi Hendrix was 27 when she died. The guy, Morrison, was from the Doors, was, I think, 27 when he died. Janis Joplin was 27 when she died. I mean, all these people are dying at the same age. Are you joking me? All of these people, if they start to leave the reservation, they can't afford to keep these people, you know, out there talking about stuff. Joan Rivers runs her mouth about Obama being gay and his wife being a transvestite. 30 days later, she's dead. I mean, all of this stuff, these guys know there's a really tight road they've got to walk down when they get that type of recognition. Jim Carrey, basically, his career is done. Jenny McCarthy got on The Voice, had to retract what she said about the immunizations. Jim Carrey had to retract what he said about the immunizations. Robert Duvall, he's come out now saying that everybody should see this facts movie because he's married to a black woman. People don't realize this, and he knows that the numbers were dummied up. And that Thompson came out from the CDC and said, we dummied up the numbers for black boys coming down with autism. And so apparently his wife or somebody else has come after him. So he was on the Today Show a few weeks ago talking about this and exposing all of this. But what you have to understand, guys, is when these folks get this type of power in the masses and they've been put up higher and higher and higher, they begin to realize very quickly that they're trap, so to speak, on the reservation. And there's certain things they can say and certain things they can't say. You know, I heard Mancow Mueller, the guy who's a huge radio talk show host, and he's a friend of mine, by the way, in Chicago. And he was on with Alex this week after Prince died. And Mancow asked me to come on for tomorrow morning show, and I'll be on his show in Chicago in the morning around 9 o'clock live. And he was telling me he wants me to talk about Prince in the chemtrails. Because, guys, I've done a bunch of shows with Dave on chemtrails. This is one of those things I did not want to believe. I didn't want to believe any of this stuff. I really didn't, because I thought there's absolutely no way on God's green earth that they're spraying us with this stuff. But what happened back in the mid-90s, they started spraying Florida with malathion, Central Florida, to kill the Mediterranean fruit fly. They were using DC-3 spray planes that were equipped with full nozzles across the back of the wings. And they warned us not to go outside because they were going to be spraying us. Now they're spraying up there, I believe it's in Oregon, for moths. They're spraying tens of thousands of acres up there with more pesticides. And the craziest thing about this is they think that we're like bugs that need to be exterminated. Look what happened when we provided the sarin nerve gas to Saddam Hussein to spray the Kurds so they could beta test it and see what kind of elevation and altitude they had to have to get 100% kill rate. They don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about anybody. All they care about is their money and their power and serving their demons. And that's what this whole thing goes back down to. And we've talked about this. It goes back down to interdimensional entities these people serve. Because remember, the quantum mechanics has shown us now there's multiple dimensions here. And we are all tied together through the fourth dimension through our DNA, which is basically a Tesla step-up transformer coil that connects information. And I'm going to go into detail on that in just a few minutes and how the heart works. But the whole thing about it is the chemtrails, I tested the water twice, Dave, that from after heavy days of spraying when it rained. And both times, there was so much aluminum and barium. I didn't check for strontium, but there was so much aluminum and barium in the two test samples that I used that according to the EPA, it wasn't safe to drink. This is rainwater coming out of the sky, loaded with barium and aluminum. I had 18 hours of chemistry, you know, when in college. I mean, I have a minor in chemistry. I know how to take lab samples. I used a 500 milliliter Pyrex beaker, elevated on the dock down by the lake. And I basically was able to collect these rain samples without any contamination in them. And both of them were almost identical in aluminum and barium. This is used for the weather radar systems, the scalar weather, the ground penetrating weather systems. It's also used to embed piezoelectric crystals into us through smart dust. We've done an entire show with you guys on that. It also ties into the chemtrails are being used to put more gelins, bacteria, and fungi into us, which are cross domain species of plant, fungus, and, an insect. And what ends up happening is they're using the antenna that's being created by the Morgellons to tie into our central nervous system, along with the piezoelectric crystals, to tie us into the smart grid. We've done entire shows on this before. So, guys, this stuff is real. This phenomena of chemtrails is real, and we have to build our immune systems up. If you go to healthmasters.com and you look on my website, I have an immune system protocol. Now we have people all over the country coming down with a chemtrail flu. Well, Dave, you had it. You had the mess. And, you called me up and you said, Ted, I'm not getting better. I'm getting worse. I'm afraid I'm going to the hospital. And I said, no. I'll next day air you a package. And I next day aired you a package out of here, I believe on Monday. You had it on Tuesday. You start taking it and immediately you started feeling better. And the reason for that is we just boosted your immune system. And I'll tell you guys, you can write it all down. It's black seed oil, D3, 10,000 IUs a day, but you can take more than that the first couple of days, along with K2. It has to have K2 in it, a potassium iodide, and vitamin C. And those are the key ingredients on what you have to do to boost the immune system. And you go to healthmasters.com if you want to order that from us. Thank you. I appreciate it, supporting the show. You know, we help sponsor Dave's show. So when you help support us, you help sponsor Dave's show. And there's a coupon right now. Coupon code is called Dave Book. DAVE, no space, BOOK. And you get a free book from me, Breakthrough Health, with any order over $50. And so it's just, guys, you get a $20 value book. If you go over $100, you get the book and you get free shipping on your whole order, including the book. So I don't know what to tell you, but guys, potassium iodide is more than just thyroid protection. It's one of the principal components of the immune system. Your thyroid has to have it. Vitamin D3, everybody runs around with sunscreen on or umbrellas, but they don't want to get in the sun anymore. Your body has to have vitamin D. And if you don't have sufficient high enough quantities of cholesterol in your body can't even use sunlight very efficiently to convert that cholesterol into vitamin D for your body. And that's one of the reasons I believe they're pushing these god-awful statin drugs on everybody to lower cholesterol, because it massively impairs the immune system. It massively increases the risks of cancer. It also increases the risks of kidney failure, the risks of diabetes. This list goes on and on. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But guys, go to the website, healthmasters.com, and at least look at what you need for the protocol for the healthy immune system, because a lot of people who've been exposed to heavy metals, like multiple shots, etc., they have a much higher incident of Morgellons disease. Now, we've all pretty much been infected with these piezoelectric crystals because they've been spraying us so heavily, along with the Morgellons fungus. The thing is, our immune system is strong enough to take care of this stuff, unless you get a whole big dose of it and your immune system's weak and you have the chemtrail flu from that and you get really, really sick. And so, guys, please listen to me on this. Keep your immune system strong. There's going to come a point in time when they're going to unleash some type of horrible pandemic. But remember, not everybody died in the bubonic plague death. They killed half the population with that mess, wherever that stuff came from. But the reality is that, you know, you don't have to be sick and you don't have to die, but you've really got to take care of yourself. Dave, you have anything you want to add to any of this?
Well, you're right on the money. In fact, let me go back here. 3.5 years ago, when I had a longtime friend who retired from FEMA, and he bugged out, and his area of expertise was counter bioterrorism. And what he told me specifically, he said, they're going to do a lot of things. He said, but the death blow, if they can't take down the United States, the death blow will be chemical and biological attacks, right, and they're going to do it through the sky. Right. And he said, you know about chemtrails. So this was what he said. In fact, where he has gone to, his entire small community of like-minded people from the same background actually have portable air supplies to try to counter what he told me was coming. Yeah, you know, I don't know the first thing to do about this except what you're talking about, which is to strengthen your immune system. I don't know how to build a portable air system. I don't even know if I could afford it. But the only thing I think I can do is strengthen the immune system and hope for the best.
Well, here's the thing. It makes me so angry. I don't eat GMO. Right? I drink distilled water. I mean, we have great distillers at Health Masters. You know, I write articles all the time on health. You know, we sell methylated B vitamins for people that are having problems with depression, or they're having mood swings, you know, for anxiety. We do all of this stuff that we possibly can to stay healthy. We eat clean. We drink clean water. We eat incredibly good organic food here at the house. But Dave, excuse me, I got to say a bad word, but damn these people. They make us breathe the air. They know that we've learned enough about water and food that we can stop it, but they make us breathe the air. And I mean, they're damnable. They all deserve to go right straight to hell, which is they're going to end up in there anyhow. But that's what these people have done. They did the same thing the Nazis did in the concentration camps. They took the people and they knew they had to have water because they were locked up. And they put fluoride in the water because they knew they would die without water. They couldn't get them to swallow the pills. Well, they know that we can clean our water. We don't have to drink their poisonous fluoride, but they know we got to breathe the air. So they found a dispersal system that works so well, they could pump this stuff into our lungs and directly into our bodies. And guys, this thing is real. As God made little green apples, it's real. You got to believe me on this. I've tested the water. And I've seen so many people, had so many people call me up, Dave. Had another friend of mine in California the other day, chemtrail flu, sick for weeks. I couldn't get better, couldn't get better, couldn't shake it loose. It's really, really, really bad stuff. Before we put this protocol together, I caught this mess probably about 5 years ago. Had a raspy lung cough for, God, for months. I couldn't shake it loose. Finally, I had to go in and get intravenous vitamin C, and that knocked it out too. The intravenous vitamin C will knock it out too. But they're doing everything they possibly can now to make that illegal. And they've cut the supply lines on the intravenous vitamin C. Now you have to, these doctors that are still doing that, they're having to use compounding pharmacies, Dave, to manufacture their own ascorbic acid, the vitamin C, in order to use it for the intravenous, you know, chelation. Not chelation, it's intravenous drip. So the craziest thing about all of this is that they're trying everything they possibly can when they, we find stuff that works for the immune system. So here's what I recommend that you do. Go to my website and start taking this stuff immediately and keep at least 6 months of this stuff on hand all the time. 6 months supply of this stuff. It's got plenty of expiration date. Don't worry about that. And keep it for you and your entire family. And take these supplements every single day. It's very inexpensive for this particular protocol. The iodine is like $20. The black seed oil is like $25. The D3 is like $20. And they're very inexpensive products. So you can stock up on them. So please do that. And remember the coupon Dave book. Then you can get the book and what you can read more about it. But guys, we got to do something, because if we don't, you know, Prince tried to warn us. Look what happened to Prince. Remember when Breitbart was going to come out and release that whole story? All of a sudden he was gone. He was dead. In fact, he was working with that story with Mancow. He was the Mancow talked about on Alex Jones last week. And so all of these things, look at Dr. Gonzalez. Look at these guys that we talked about last summer that had found a cure for autism and had a 15% cure rate, 85% better rate. And all of a sudden they were doing GCMF molecules. All of a sudden these guys get raided by the FDA. All of a sudden they all end up dead, committing suicide supposedly. Are you joking me? Really? Look at Joan Rivers. The list goes on and on and on. You start running your mouth when you're really, really, really well known. And I guarantee you, Brian Williams did something too, Dave, for them to sacrifice him like they did. There's no way that boy was sacrificed. He did something. He probably started waking up like Dan Rather did. And whenever these newscasters start waking up, they start leaving the reservation and start running their mouths. Look at Wernher von Braun. He kept saying constantly that they would, you know, it wasn't what we thought it was with Apollo landings. And all of a sudden, you know, a couple of years after he leaves NASA, at the age of 65, he dies of cancer. Are you joking me? I mean, all of these guys, when they start waking up and they start running their mouth, they start telling the truth, it's over for them. See, that's why they're so careful at that high level. That's why they're always in the same page. See, you know how long it took to burn the picture of Hillary and Bill Clinton into the synapses of the American population so they became household words? How long it took to do that? And when they have that type of name recognition, they end up in a situation where they're basically handled. Mancow even told me, and told Alex Jones on national radio, so this is not confidential, that he's been to one of those Gregorian, barbarian, Babylonian, whatever you want to call it, the things that those eyes wide shut parties, okay? And Alex Jones said he's been invited to those parties. This is what you saw in that movie with Stanley Kubrick. He tried to tell us who was running the New World Order, these Luciferians that are involved in all of this. And, you know, guys, Dave and I stick our necks out. You know, Hagman sticks his neck out. I mean, we all are telling you guys the truth. And so when you support us in our efforts, then it really helps us to continue to know that you guys are listening and you care about us. And you know, you can go to the Common Sense Show and you can donate to Dave. You can go to the Common Sense Show. You can donate to Katie. Thank you for that. Because Katie's another one of those troopers. I mean, she just, these 20s, she'll tell you her whole story of what happened with her with this whole mess that she's gone through. And it's horrible what they've done to her. And see, you got to remember, Katie is an enigma, okay? She's doing a natural protocol and not doing the chemotherapy and the radiation and all the other stuff. So it's one of those things, they don't want people talking about that because the military-industrial complex and the drug-industrial complex is huge. In fact, I was reading the Financial Times a few years ago, Dave. I used to get that paper all the time until about 2007. And they had an article in there, and it said they're trying to find a drug for cancer, not to cure the cancer, but to keep the patient alive for years, if not decades, on that drug, like insulin for diabetes, so they can maximize profits. I mean, this whole thing with cancer is a complete and total farce. They've known how to cure cancer now for almost 100 years. They did it with Gerson. They did it with Rife. They've done it with all these different clinics from way back when, back in the early 1900s. But it doesn't make any difference. They don't want you guys to know that, because the 100,000 people, actually, it's more than that. It's like a million. The million people a year who die from chemotherapy in this country, it's like 13 or 14 million in the last 16 years, Dave. Some insane number of people that have died from the effect of chemotherapy. I had a dear friend of mine, his name was Richard, and he was a former, he was basically a Baptist song leader, great guy, here in Lakeland, Florida, and he called me up years and years ago, and he told me he'd been diagnosed with prostate cancer, which, you know, there's a lot of, I could do a whole show on prostate cancer, but not a whole show, about 30 minutes on just that. But what was interesting, I told him, I said, Richard, I said, here's the thing. I said, prostate cancer is a real slow-growing cancer. It's not a big deal in almost everybody. You'll probably die of something else. You're almost, 68 years old. You're 100 pounds overweight. You don't take care of yourself. And I said, you'll probably die of, heart disease or a stroke or whatever before you die of this prostate cancer. So he calls me back and he goes, well, I found the doctor who wants to treat me for it. I'm like, well, what does he want to do? Well, they want to do the surgery and put radioactive pellets in me. And then they want to start me on a chemotherapy program, all this. And I said, Richard, look, get multiple opinions. Don't just listen to this guy. Remember, these guys are cut and burn and poison with this chemotherapy and the radiation and the surgery. That's how they get paid. You need to have multiple doctors if you're going to do this. And he said, oh, I'm going to be fine, it'll be great. He said, it won't be any problems. Then he calls me back and goes, oh, I've had the pellets installed now. I'm doing great. I feel great. I said, okay. That was like in September. Well, December, we sent them a Christmas card. It came back to us in November with a wife. It didn't come back, but a letter came back from his wife. He was dead. Dave, he was dead. The chemotherapy killed him. Dead. And I've seen it over and over and over and over again. Now, am I saying that you shouldn't listen to your oncologist, you shouldn't listen to your doctor? No, I'm not saying that at all. You've got to make your own decision. What I'm saying is kind of like immunizations. Get your own research together. Study your own stuff. Make a decision based on facts, not on emotion. It's like a couple of weeks ago, actually a week and a half, Friday a week ago, my son had a little boy. 7 pounds, 11 ounces, beautiful, blonde hair, blue eyes. I mean, just beautiful little kid. Super healthy. Did it with the midwife. Did it. She was home 5 hours later. Breastfeeding. Didn't get the hepatitis B shot. I mean, none of that nonsense, okay? Kid's doing great. Looking around. Sharp, clear eyes. I mean, unbelievably smart already. Already moves in his head, trying to focus in on things. I mean, kid's brilliant already. Now, you think about the fact that, this kid is not a disease. Childbirth is not a disease. The only reason they wanted to give that boy that hepatitis shot when he was born is they were assuming that his mother, who was a virgin until she married Austin, her parents were missionaries, which is like super rare nowadays anyhow for a girl to be a virgin to her 20s, that she was a virgin. The only reason they require a hepatitis shot upon the birth of the child is they assume the mother is a drug-using IV prostitute who's infected with hepatitis. That's the only reason they give the shot. That's it. So, if you tell them your wife's not an IV drug-using prostitute, they write in your chart, this is what they do. You'll love this, Dave. Patient denies being a drug-using IV prostitute. That's what they say. Patient denies. In other words, they won't say in there the patient's not a drug-using IV prostitute. They say the patient denies being that. And so it's the nuttiest thing how they write this stuff down into these charts. It's kind of like, we're not saying that you're not an IV drug-using prostitute because you're denying it, but we don't know what you are. So it's interesting to me. Well, the kid's doing absolutely great. But see, let's go to the next topic here real quick, since we're already done with the chemtrails. Former NBC boss asserts that his grandson has been damaged by vaccines. And this is by John Rappaport. I'll read you a couple of lines from him, what he said. I love John. He's been on my show many, many times. He goes, the roof is beginning to cave in on the vaccine empire. Now, in the wake of the unsuccessful attempt to censor the film Vaxxed, we have seen Bob Wright, the former CEO of NBC Universal, the top guy, authoring a new book, The Right Stuff, From NBC to Autism Speaks. In this review of the book, Accuracy and Media provides a devastating quote from Wright about his autistic grandson. Right after he got the standard 1-year vaccinations, he developed a high fever and he screamed for hours. My daughter Katie was so frightened that she called her husband to come home from work, and they put the baby in an ice bath because of the high fever. When they called the doctor, they were told that the reaction was completely normal. The action of this kid screaming was completely normal. You have to understand something. The CDC has large numbers of vaccine scandals buried in their files. One of them involves a vast over-exaggeration of flu deaths in the U.S. every single year. As researcher Peter Doshi noted years ago, the old canned figure for annual flu deaths of $36,000 people was gross exaggeration. One year, the actual number of confirmed flu deaths in America where the flu virus was positively identified was 18 people, Dave. Of course, the CDC uses those flu death statistics to convince Americans they must every year take the flu shot. Remember, the multivalent flu shot is loaded with thimerosal, which is mercury, and mercury is a neurotoxin. Three flu shots in a row, and you have a 50% greater chance of Alzheimer's disease. And I have so many of my friends now, even from high school, and kids, people younger in their 40s, who are coming down with senile dementia and Alzheimer's disease because of all this flu shots and all these chemicals and all these GMOs they're putting into the body. But let's go back for this 1 second again. I want to tell you why this happened. Right after he got his standard one-year vaccination, he developed a very high fever and screamed for hours. Katie, my daughter, was so frightened she called her husband to come home from work, and they put the baby in an ice bath to bring down the fever. When they called the doctor, they were told the reaction was completely normal. And my parents have called me up, and they say when this happened the next day, when the kid stopped screaming, the light's gone out of their eyes. You know, this happens at the 2-year phase, 18-month phase, 3-year phase. I've seen it happen through all of these different phases. Primarily, though, it's with the smaller children. It's called an encephalitic scream. And what happens, Dave, is this. This thing is so toxic when it hits this baby's little bloodstream, the body doesn't know what to do with it. So the macrophages go on just high alert. They go, oh, my God, some super bad invader just got in here. And the macrophages have to release cytokines. And the cytokines are chemical messengers that are sent to other macrophages to get in here to this injection site and clean this mess up. The problem is these cytokines cause massive inflammation. And the reason this baby is screaming is that its brain starts swelling from the inflammation, from the cytokine storm that this child is in. And the brain starts to expand against the skull, you know, and causing this tremendous cranial pressure. So the baby gets this wicked bad pain in its head. It goes into this scream. It arches its back, tightens up, and lays there from up to 18 hours screaming. And these damnable doctors that do this, Dave, they say it's normal. What's wrong with these guys? If I was a pediatrician and I saw this over and over and over and over and over and over again, I would think, well, just maybe I'm causing this in these kids. Just maybe. And that's what that one pediatrician who backed Robert De Niro, that nationally known pediatrician. He goes, look, De Niro's right. We got to find out if this stuff is safe for these kids, because we're getting way too many kids in our offices that are having these problems. Dr. Robert Mendelsohn wrote a book back in the 80s, and it was called Confessions of a Medical Heretic. Dr. Mendelsohn was a pediatrician by trade. Phenomenal guest. Oh, my gosh, was he good. He was on all the major talk show circuits. He had to get shut up. So he was 62 years old when they found him dead in his sleep because they couldn't shut him up. He wrote a book called Confessions of a Medical Heretic, and he said that religion was like medicine was like a religion. They wore their priestly gowns, their white robes. They had their stethoscopes, which were like their crosses hanging around their neck. And he goes, and it was like a religion that he'd had enough of because he was a doctor and he was stepping out of it. And so he was classified by his own profession as a heretic, that he was no longer following the code of ethics of the medical profession. He also wrote another book called Confessions. The other book was called How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. And he goes, and then he slams all of these vaccines. This is back in the early 80s when he did this. He slams all of these vaccines. These books are like a penny a piece that you can get on Amazon now, and used books that you can read. Confessions of a Medical Heretic and How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. I don't make any money on that. I don't have an Amazon account linked to any of that. I'm just giving you guys penny books to buy that will change your life. The reason I said all of that is to say this. Austin and Lana had already decided before she ever got pregnant they were not immunizing any children they had, period. Okay, so this wasn't a big blowout with her and Austin and the parents and the grandparents and everything else. I have seen parents get so mad, grandparents get so mad about kids not wanting to immunize children, they call the Department of Family Services on them. I've seen grandparents get so mad because somebody wants to give a child goat's milk, they call the Department of Family Services on them. I mean, you've got to be in unity with your family. If your family is against you not immunizing, if they want you to immunize and you don't want to immunize, it's probably better for you not to discuss this stuff with your family and avoid the conflict. And see, that's what you've got to understand. I'm not telling you not to immunize. If you want to immunize your child, knock yourself out. It's entirely up to you. But the first year, remember this, the only reason you go in for a 6-month immunization is because they want you to get used to going in for that shots. That child's immune system is either developed enough at the age of 6 months to start producing antibodies. That child's supposed to get all his antibodies from its mother's breast milk for the first 12 months. That's how the whole immune system works. The first 6 months, the shots are a complete waste of time. Hepatitis shots are a waste of time. The 12-month shot, now you're starting to mess with the kid's immune system. 18-month shot, 24-month shot, 3-year shots. All of this, loading this kid up with this thimerosal, loading this kid up with this mercury, loading this kid up with this aluminum and the squalene and the adjuvants and the aborted fetal cells and all of the stuff they put, the MSG. They put all kinds of stuff. Because remember what happened. Back in 86, Reagan signed the Vaccine Protection Act, which gave all of these manufacturers complete and total carbonic immunity against prosecution. They put billions of dollars into this vaccine fund for damaged children, which has paid out billions and billions of dollars that you guys don't hear about because of all these damaged kids that have been proven to be damaged by these immunizations. And then now these guys can make any kind of immunization they want. It doesn't matter what they do to your child. It doesn't matter. And they don't give a rat's butt about it. Excuse my language tonight. I've been reading about this stuff all weekend, dealing with this stuff. I got this newborn baby here today with me all day at the house because it was my 17-year-old's birthday party today. And I'm watching this beautiful little boy who's super healthy. And I can't believe that these pediatricians do stuff like this. So, guys, listen to me. If your pediatrician won't see you because you won't immunize your child, it's probably because he wants the money from the immunizations he's going to charge you, number one. Number two, find yourself a natural, holistic doctor, a medical doctor in your area you can bring your child to. That's what we do, who doesn't require immunizations. You don't have to take a child to a pediatrician, a general practice physician can handle all you need. He can get rid of the warts. He can stitch it up. He if you got to get a cut, he can do all that kind of stuff. But remember, guys, it's your child. At least it is right now, Dave. I don't know what's going to happen in this country later on. But right now, it's still your child. And in most states, you can still get a religious immunization waiver unless you live in California. In a lot of states now, because immunizations are getting lower and lower as far as compliance, because 1 in 48 children now have autism. They're saying that the study, if the trend does not change, Dave, if this is from a guy from MIT looking at the numbers, he said by 2025, 50% of all children will have autism in the United States, and by 2035, all boys, and 2037, all girls will have autism. Now, there's one guy named, he's a physicist out of Germany, his name is Vela, and he says the number one reason they're doing this is for demonic possession in the end times, because it's a lot easier for a demon to inhabit the body of a child with autism. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. That was his opinion, but that's what he says. Now, I find it interesting, because why else does the government want so many autistic children, Dave? Why does the New World Order want so many millions of autistic children? Why do they want to force us under the penalty of law of being arrested to immunize our kids? And that's coming too. It'll be basically a Gestapo kind of tactics. It'll be medical martial law. And you've written about it, Dave, and I've talked about it. And that's where this whole mess with Obamacare is going to end up. It's going to all end up with medical martial law. You don't do what we tell you to do, we're coming after you. We better all
play. I agree with that, Ted, but I think that what really, you asked the question about what are they after? They're after two things. One, a shortened lifespan.
That's right.
And two, they want people to be so diminished that they couldn't mount a resistance to what's going on.
No, you're right. In fact, I had John Moore on my show the other day, and he made some very interesting comments about the Muslims. And I'm not picking on Muslims, okay, because I don't do that. But he said the Muslims, it's legal basically for them to intermarry with their first cousins, et cetera, and in the United States, in most states it is too, but they do a lot of that over there. And he said they have a lot of the Muslims have a very low IQ score. He said that's why it's easy for them to get strapped up to a suicide vest and push the trigger to blow themselves up, because they really think that's okay. And see, the problem is they don't want an educated electorate. I forgot who that one I think it was George Carlin. You have to be careful when you watch his stuff because his language is so awful, but he's so on point with everything. Of course, he ends up dying too. You know, he's talking about, he goes, they don't want you smart. They want you to shut up, stay on the reservation. He goes, you're not, he said, they're in a big club. You're not in it. I'm not in it. And he goes, that's what they're doing. He said, all they want to do is kill you, shorten your lifespan, get you off the planet. That's the whole goal of this New World Order, is to reduce the population. It's called eugenics. We've talked about it repeatedly on the show. And that's exactly what they're doing, Dave. It's sad, but you've got to build your immune system up, and you've got to evaluate about what you want to do with these children if you have kids, and your grandkids, and if you want them immunized. I can't tell you how many letters I've gotten, Dave, where parents or grandparents contact me and they say, I don't know what to do. My children won't listen, and they're immunizing, you know, they're doing all 72 shots. My response is always this: you can't do anything. You know, you should have talked to them about this a long time ago. And I've also had people who get divorced, they contact me and they say, my ex-wife has custody of my child. You know, she was pregnant when we got separated. Now we're divorced. And now she's insisting on all the immunizations. I don't know what to do. And see, situations like that, I can't get involved in that. That's all legal stuff. You have to get attorneys involved in. And plus, you're probably not going to get any judge to say it's okay to not immunize them. So you gotta really evaluate what's going on. And I tell you what, Dave, I am so thankful to God Almighty. I really am. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that we have Robert De Niro, the former head of NBC, Jim Carrey, Jenny McCarthy. All of these people now are coming forward who are huge in Hollywood, and they're getting off the reservation, and they're telling the truth about these shots and these immunizations, Dave.
Yeah, but I feel like we're looking at a pebble skipping across the ocean. Too late, too few, won't have enough impact.
Well, the problem is, and this is, you know, the problem is the damage that's been done already is just unbelievably, it's unprecedented. The IQ scores in the United States have plummeted in the last 50, 60 years. And they knew that would happen with putting the fluoride into the water supply. They knew that. I mean, the other day I had to get my car washed at the dealership where I got the car, where I bought the car. And they like give free car washes. And the kid, you could tell, he was vaccine damaged. He wasn't there. I mean, he's probably dealing with a 90 IQ, 80 IQ, 75 IQ. Nice kid, did a nice job on the car, but that's as far as he's going to go in life, bless his heart. And I felt bad for him. I really did, because it wasn't his fault that his parents did that to him. And this is what I told Austin. When Austin graduated at 19 with his bachelor's degree from Southeastern University in Lakeland, this is my oldest son, who now runs Health Masters and is the co-host of my show that airs on this same network on Global Star every day from 3 to 4, Monday through Friday, and also from 7 to 8 p.m. on Sunday nights, right before your show, Dave. Austin was going to go into the military. In fact, he took his AVMAT, or whatever you call it, that test you take, and he scored real, real high on it. And they took him in. They were taking him immediately as an officer in the Marine Corps. And the first thing they told him was that, you know, you have to get immunized. And he said, well, I don't want to get immunized. And they said, well, we'll give you an immunization waiver. The recruiter will, so you don't have to get immunized. And I laughed at Austin when he told me that. I said, you really believe that the person where you get sent to, that they're going to care what your recruiter said? They don't care.
Exactly.
They don't care. They're going to tell you to bend over. And you're going to say, well, I don't want to. They're in a court martial. You're going to throw you out or whatever they're going to do. And I said, you know, they're not going to send you into a field of battle if there's potential, you know, hazards there that they want to immunize you against, you know, and whatever. And they did tell him finally. So they said, well, if you do not immunize, then what's going to happen is we'll never send you into an open field of battle. That's what they told him. And so finally Obama won the election. This is like 8 years ago when this happened, because Austin's 27 now. And he basically, when Obama won, Austin said, you know, Dad, I've really thought about this. And Obama's never served in the military. And I mean, do I really want to go in the military and serve under this guy? He goes, I'm just going to pass on this whole thing. And I said, that's a very, very smart move on your part, son. Because right now, the military that we remember from the John Wayne movies, and of course, the military we remember from the John Wayne movies never existed. You know, that was all sanitized. And so many people were so angry at John Wayne, by the way, because of those 30s and 40s movies he did with the military, Dave, that got so many people involved in, you know, enlisting in the military. They hated him after that because they all thought it was this, you know, said there was this, most of the movies were black and white, so there was never any blood or anything, you know. And so they were thinking they were going over to, you know, be in a movie, I guess, but it wasn't a movie. When you hit the beaches of Normandy, there wasn't anything movie about that. What do you think about all this, Dave?
Well, I think that we're in a lot of trouble, and basically we've got the, Fox guarding the hen house. I brought this up to my son's pediatrician too about the 3M vaccine, and you know, Ted, they're so ingrained in their training that they can't escape it. I mean, they're dedicated to it. They're married to it. You want to talk about cognitive dissonance? Take a doctor away from vaccines and have them look at it objectively. They can't do it. At least most of them can't.
It's rare. And the reason for that is the continuing education and a lot of the medical school training is paid for by the pharmaceutical corporations. And remember, and this is something that's very important, most medical doctors who go to medical school, number one, they're extremely good with memorization skills because they have to memorize a lot of stuff in order to get high scores on the MCATs. That's very important you understand that. But it doesn't mean that they're really good at concrete rational thought. Now, there's a difference. Okay, when Maslow put his hierarchy of needs together, Dave, you remember this. He said the final development phase that very few people ever reach is called concrete rational thought and self-actualization. And what happens is this. They don't ever get there. They stay in that memorization phase. So they're given this protocol to follow by the drug companies, and they pass their MCATs and they pass their licensing exams and they do all of that, and they believe that what they were taught and what they memorized is correct. And they can sit there and inject child after child after child after child, and the kid comes down with immunization. The parents are there screaming and crying, and they're going, oh, no, it wasn't the immunizations. It wasn't the immunizations. It wasn't the immunizations. It wasn't the immunizations. And, in fact, it may not be all immunizations. It can be the glyphosate, which is the Roundup toxicity that these kids can also incur. It can also be all kinds of other problems with, you know, immune systems. It can be elevated NAGLase in the blood, wherever that stuff's coming from. There are all kinds of things that can affect autism. That's a fact. But the reality is the biggest smoking gun we have right now is the 72 shots that these children are required to take, you know, from their pediatricians, or they won't see.
Now, what is that number up to? How many did you say?
I can't hear you, man.
How many is that up to?
72.
72.
Hmm?
70. What was it, Ted, when you were younger? When you were growing up, what was the number?
We got the polio, and we got the, because I'm 60 years old. I think it were two. Polio and tuberculosis. I think it was two. You know, and they were bad enough because they injected 100 million people in the United States with monkey kidney virus cells, which they were live vaccines, and then we were drinking of that stuff, you remember? And that now they've had a huge increase in these people that are being born, you're coming down with breast cancers and brain cancers and bone cancers from that particular simian vaccine. And the craziest part about all that is it's being transferred into the next generation. We have children that have never been immunized with any of that stuff, and it's showing up in their DNA. And see, that's part of the epigenetics that we talk about. See, let me change the topic real quick if we can. Yesterday in the gym, now we're going to talk a little bit about physics for a second because I love talking about this. Let's do a little bit on physics. Yesterday in the gym, we're going to talk about, we live in the first, second, and third dimension, but Einstein proved that, you know, there's a fourth dimension of time-space. And, of course, we have interdimensional dimensions after that. It's fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, all the way up, different dimensions in the universe. And what happens is scalar waves are interesting because scalar waves are what our body's DNA and our basically DNA is a stepped up. It's a coil. So it's a coil. It's a Tesla coil. And what it does, it transmits via the fourth dimension scalar waves. And that's why it's instantaneous. Scalar wave transmission is instantaneous in the universe, any place, any time, because it goes through time space to the fourth dimension. And so we're all quantumly interconnected as human beings. That's something that people need to understand through this interdimensional interface we have in the fourth dimension and these other dimensions, including the 13th dimension where supposedly God lives, in which we're connected through the Holy Spirit. Yesterday we were in the gym working out. Let me give you an example. Well, you've had this happen, Dave. Have you ever just gone to pick up a telephone to call somebody and you pick the phone up and it didn't even ring and the other person's on the other line? I've done that.
No, yeah, I've done that too. But you always can't rule out coincidence. But no, I will tell you, you can place odds mm-hmm. on whether or not it's a coincidence by doing some data research. But I know where you're going with this, and you're right. There is quantum entanglement. In fact, let me just, before you get back to your story, let me just share this with you. Nightline had a bunch of people on that studied this at Duke University back in about 1997. This is when Ted Koppel was the host. And what they did is they took, live birth rabbits and separated from their mother and then spread them out throughout the city. And then they would monitor the mother rabbit for signs of distress, acute signs of distress, as they systematically euthanized these rabbits on an irregular pattern. And each time the mother rabbit, when they did these experiments, would have just a horrific negative stress response. And this is what you're talking about. This really leads into what we call quantum entanglement.
That's right, because all of these electrons and protons, all these things in our body are tied together in this dimension and in the next. Let me tell you what happened first with my mom. Back about 10, 11 years ago, my mom basically died. You know, she was like 90 years old. She was born in like 1916. And what happened is at 5 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I was having a really weird dream. And it was about my childhood with my mom. It was really strange because, you know, my mom had gone through, you know, she was born in 1916. She'd gone through the Weimar Republic, had lived through the rise and fall of Hitler's, you know, Germany, the Nazis and all that mess, you know, was stabbed and left for dead in 1947, you know, moved to the United States with my dad in 52. I was born in 55. Now remember, and the guys, listen to me for a second because this is going to get kind of weird, but you got to listen to me because this is true. When a woman is born, she has the full complement of eggs in her ovaries that she's ever going to have. It doesn't get any more eggs. With guys, we constantly produce sperm. As long as we have enough zinc and E in our diets, we can produce healthy, viable sperm until our 80s and 90s. We can. So we can continue to father children and way past when we should be doing it, okay? Women can't do that. They're born with a complement of eggs. Let's say they have 1,000 eggs. That's all they're ever going to have. They're never going to produce more eggs. Now, this is why they're giving girls Gardasil shots, because it puts them into what's called premature ovarian failure or menopause at like 18, 19, 20 years old sometimes. They can never have children. But my mom, when she was a Nazi German going through all of this stuff, my egg was in her. That's why there's always a special bond between mothers and their offspring, just like with those rabbits you were talking about, Dave. And when my mom was in the nursing home, I was unaware of, because I visited her all the time. It had been about 4 or 5 days since I was there. And my sister had been called in because she's the power of attorney on my mom's case in the nursing home. I was not notified. And my mom was doing very badly because the medication they were giving her, the blood thinners, were making her bleed out through her intestines, and they were having to give her transfusions or she was going to die. But now these idiots in the nursing home didn't cut back on the blood thinners. They kept it going, right? So I didn't know that she'd been in the hospital, and then like 2 days later they bring her back to the nursing home, and my sister was fully aware of this. She's also a medical doctor who has no concrete rational thought, and she also has a doctorate from Harvard University, by the way. My sister does. And what ended up happening is my mother, you know, was dying like it was a Thursday night, from Friday morning real early, and I was flying out to do a seminar in St. Louis that night. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, I wake up with this crazy dream I was having, Dave. And I woke up just shaking. And I thought, God, what in the world's going on? Why am I feeling this morning? I said, and Sharon gets up. It's early. She gets up, Ted, are you okay? And I said, man, I just had the craziest dream about my mom. It was weird, Sharon. And I said, she said, well, are you going to be okay to go today? I said, well, I'll be honest with you. If I hadn't already committed to going and doing this seminar up in St. Louis, I would cancel it. I feel awful. Well, what happened is, I flew to St. Louis. We got there at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. My nanny at that time, her name was Nikki. Nikki called me up, and I had my cell phone with me. And Nikki says, Ted, are you sitting down? And I said, Nikki, no, I'm on the airplane. I'm getting off the plane. She goes, well, I've got to tell you something. I said, well, go ahead. She goes, your mother died this morning at 5 o'clock. So,
and Ted, we've got to hold it right there because we're going our top of the hour break. That is a good cliffhanger point. We're going to pick it up and unravel this unfortunate story when we come back in hour number 3. Stay tuned, everybody.